Jude was, and his approach was, that if it doesn't make sense, then he just wasn't interested. But the humbled heart doesn't see God, and it doesn't see the mysteries of life as a puzzle to be worked out. It doesn't try to resolve all these tensions. Our theology is useful. It's good. We ought to wrestle with theology and what the Bible says. There are indeed things that we can know about God because God has revealed them to us. There are things that we ought to know. There are things that we indeed must know. But there are also things we can't know. And rather than creating a barrier to faith, a humble heart will accept these tensions without trying to work it all out. The humbled heart will accept them and say, look, it's okay, it's just too wonderful for me. In this relationship with God, we are the child. And we must be content to let God be God. And the humbled heart is content indeed to do that. But then secondly, the psalm speaks of a satisfied soul. You know, that tension can leave you unsatisfied. It can leave you thinking, oh, there's got to be more. How can I be satisfied when I don't know? But look what David says. I have stilled and quietened my soul. And not knowing creates gaps. And sometimes those gaps are agonizing. Can you imagine being a parent or a child of one of the people on Malaysian Airlines flight MH370, not knowing what happened? Sometimes gaps are intriguing. How far does the universe go? Sometimes there's gaps we don't even think about. Why do we live at this particular point in history and not in medieval times? Why was I born now? Why was I born in or near to this place? Why has God sent me here and not in Siberia or the jungles of South Africa? Jungles of South America, beg your pardon. Sometimes these gaps, they're agonizing, sometimes they're torturing, sometimes they're intriguing. Keep in mind David's tortured state at various times, but now he can say, I have stilled and quietened my soul. The idea here of stilled is being level. It's like the harbor on one of those lovely sunny days where it just looks calm. Compared with when the southerly's blowing 100 miles an hour and it's just churning. I have stilled and quietened my soul. And David here provides his own picture of a weaned child. You know how a child comes off the breast or off the bottle as it's been feeding and it's full and the child sits back and is content. They've had their fill, the crying has stopped, the appetite has been satisfied. Soul satisfying, soul stilling, soul quietening, contentment. Does it seem like a dream? Does it seem like something that's just beyond reach? a rare commodity. Life seems to just be frenetic. It seems to be churning all the time, demanding all the time. And that soul-satisfying, soul-stilling contentment seems so far away. And we're tempted to find that contentment. We're tempted to find that stilling, that quieting, satisfying solution in things other than God. As a parent, have you ever thought, well, maybe a better or a different parenting method will still the soul? Have you looked at those gadgets on TV, the new technology that promises to save your time and transform your life, and wondered, that's the answer? This will make life less frenetic. Maybe you see the brochures and the advertisements for that holiday and think, that's what I need. Sometimes we search for it in those answers, or we search for it in knowledge, the answer to the question why. Do you ever find that the more you know, the more you actually don't know? It's intriguing. Do you ever long for childlike ignorance again? Childlike innocence? The time when life wasn't so complicated? I have stilled and quietened my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. In Philippians, in our Philippians series, chapter 4, Paul said he'd learned the secret of contentment in any and every situation, both in need and in plenty. You see, this soul satisfaction, this soul stilling is a secret to be learned. And the secret is not having all the answers. The secret is not having all the things we want. The secret is not having or knowing the reasons why people suffer as much as we want them. Now, I suspect that if we had those answers, we still wouldn't be content. We'd simply complain more. The secret of soul satisfaction is the Lord. He is the secret. You know, as much as Jesus knew about his work and his mission, knowing that he would die and rise, he still cried out. Why? And yet before he died, right that moment before he died in Luke 23, the last words that Jesus says there, recorded by Luke, were, "Father, into your hands I commit my life." King David suffered tremendously. Job suffered horrendously. We also experience tragedy in many ways. But your soul satisfaction is not jeopardized by those things. If your trust is in the Lord, Often we want to know the outcome of a particular action, a particular situation. We want to know beforehand how it's going to turn out. And when we want to know, then our confidence becomes knowledge. And we believe that knowledge will give us that soul satisfaction. And when we can't know, when it's impossible to know, we feel like we're stuck in a rut. But Hebrews 11 begins that wonderful chapter on the heroes of faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. How can we be sure of what we hope for? You can be sure of what you hope for when your hope is in the Lord. And that's how the psalm concludes, finally, enduring hope. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. And the closing there, both now and forevermore, what's being driven at there is put your hope in the Lord always. Regardless of what's happening. Regardless of knowledge. Regardless of not knowing. Regardless of not being able to work it out. Think about it. Israel's fortunes, they fluctuated throughout their history from the heights of Solomon's kingship to the depths of exile. Hope was the same. Hope in the Lord. And just as a child is dependent on its mother for its filling, for its contentment, for its being satisfied, so we are dependent on God as Father, as a creature is to its Creator. And that hope is certain. That hope is sure. How can we be certain? How do you have certain hope? How do you have certain hope always? Because of who God is. Because of what He's done. What He's done for us in Jesus. Knowing that God does not change. When things are going bad, when things are going well, when you don't know, God does not change. His love does not change. His love is unfailing, we're told. It's unfailing because He's shown it in Jesus. When Jesus cried out on the cross, "It is finished," He meant it. It is done. Our hope can be certain and sure because God's gospel word is powerful and effective and it stands forever. Great is His faithfulness indeed. You see, only the hope in the Lord Himself gives that certain and sure hope. There is so much uncertainty in the world and yet so many things that promise us hope. What's the great hope of the world today? It's science. For others, it's the material. For some, it's knowledge or education. And you know, all of those things are good and all of those things have a place if they're used in a good way, but none can replace God and substitute Him out of the picture and expect to give the hope that He gives. Many thought that about science. Many still do. Many thought in the time of the Enlightenment that science, technology, Enlightenment thinking, reason would make faith obsolete. It's done nothing like that. Science, technology, you know, we can do a whole lot with it, and it's done a lot of good. It's also given us new ways in which we sin against each other. New ways of expressing our self-centeredness. Science is good. It can't give hope because it can't deal with sin. Okay, that's why science is not our hope. And it's why God is. See, only God gives hope because only God has dealt with our sin. And that's why, friends, our hope must be in God. And it's also why we can have hope. Put your hope in the Lord now and forevermore, and find your satisfaction and your contentment in Him alone. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we thank You, Father, for this time we can spend considering Your word again. We thank You, Lord, for the Psalms of Ascents. Lord, we ask that You'll help us to see the hope that we have in You alone, the hope that only You can give. Please help us to use the things that You give to us in good ways, that we'd use them to glorify You and not to substitute them as our hope. Father, we confess that we need Your Spirit to help us each day, to humble us and to fill us. And so we would ask, Lord, that You will indeed fill us this evening more and more with Your Spirit, that we would be prepared for the challenges of life in the world and walking as a follower of Jesus. Help us, we ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus and for His sake. Amen. We'll sing again.